You're listening to the Desperately Seeking Self podcast, the show that helps you up your confidence game and gain control over your relationship with alcohol. I'm your host, Brooke Collins. Let's get started. Hello, welcome to today's episode of the Desperately Seeking Self podcast. I'm your host, Brooke Collins, and I am so glad you are able to join me today. I'm going to talk about self-esteem and sobriety and what role confidence plays in sobriety in women, and how self-esteem is a game changer for sobriety. So with that being said, let's get started. I'm so glad all of you were able to come on tonight. I'm really excited about this talk because this is something I am kind of just really, I don't know if researching is the right word, but definitely have been speaking more about, listening to more people speak about it. And I just think it's a important topic because, you know, I often want to share with people how wonderful my life is now that I quit drinking. And that feels overwhelming a lot of the time because I don't know which experience to start with to share, right? And that's not even necessarily when I'm talking to my clients or anything. I'm just in general, like I like to share how great my life has become since I quit drinking, and I chime in on conversations, and then I get overwhelmed and usually shut down midway. And I have really been like looking into why that is, because there just is so much to share and to discuss when I talk about quitting drinking, because, you know, learning to be stable without alcohol is the beginning of the process, right? So when I first got sober, I knew my life would be so much better if I just quit drinking. I knew that, you know, where I was going and where I was headed was not good. And I knew that I felt out of control and I couldn't stop. So I couldn't comprehend how I would even start making changes. And I thought about that and attempted to discover that and failed multiple times, right? And then I had enough of the pain I was causing myself, and I decided I'm ready for a change. I have to change. But being ready for a change and knowing you have to change are two different spaces too, right? Yeah. I see you guys nodding along, but yeah, it seems overwhelming at first because alcohol is so ingrained in our society. And it's such a huge part of everything we do. I'm talking from magazines, restaurants, walking down the street. If you're in the city, you'll see pictures of cocktails or people outside drinking cocktails. Or, you know, when you walk into a restaurant, what part's the most exciting illuminated part? The bar with all the bottles in it. It just is so a part of where we're at. So one thing I will say is that when we look at self-esteem, right? As women, you know, we tend to not give ourselves enough credit or see ourselves for who we really are, quite frankly. How many of you can feel that? You don't see yourself the way other people see you. In fact, here's a challenge. Ask two people who you're friends with or who you are even just acquaintances. You can ask people who you know really well, you know, your husband and stuff, but really ask someone who you don't know so well that's not on your inner circle, and ask them what they think of you or what's their perception of you. And I'm willing to bet you $1 million that their answer is completely different than the answer you thought of they would say in your head. or it's just so different from what you think about yourself to begin with, right? So I don't know. When people ask me what the key to getting sober is, or what's the trick, or what's the key to staying sober, you know, I think that how we feel about ourselves is definitely a part of it, right? And self-esteem is a part of the recovery, the key to unlocking it all, how we feel about ourselves, how we see ourselves. And the problem with this for a lot of women is that we drink because of the feelings we feel, and the frustrations we feel because of life's problems that we have difficulty handling. So I'll say that again, right? We drink because of the despair we feel, right? And the feelings of frustration we feel, and the problems that we have difficulty handling. You know, when life throws you a curveball, we have difficulty handling it, right? So it's almost like, I don't know, if you try and quit drinking so you can handle problems or handle situations better, you're probably going to find that you're unable to do that because you have a difficulty handling the problems to begin with, right? So the actions we take in our lives are often a result of how we think about ourselves. The things that we do, right, are how we think about ourselves. And the building of self-esteem is not an easy one, like an easy journey, right? So we've had negative opinions of ourselves. We've all felt to a degree unworthy or not enough. And we hold on to that. And because we have those negative feelings about ourselves, it's really hard to turn them around and become positive with who we are and our choices so that we can maintain the lifestyle choices that we want without alcohol, right? I think that we devalue ourselves. I think that most of the time we don't see ourselves as a person of value. And I think that we're afraid to let ourselves be anything other than negative about ourselves. We're almost conditioned since we are little to think negatively about ourselves. Because think about it. When you were a kid and you were talking to a friend and let's say an adult overheard, right? And you're like, oh God, I know because I'm pretty and my hair is beautiful and there's no hair like mine. You know, people would think that you're conceited, right? But what if we flip that? What if we stop doing that to kids? So what, the kid thinks their hair is so great? And another kid may take that as a dig at them, but that kid can equally come back and say, yeah, but I love my bicep muscles. I'm so strong, or I can run really fast. But instead, most of us got these conversations cut short because adults were telling us that that's not the way we should talk to other people, that that makes us look like we have a big head, right? And when you think about anything positive about yourself, right, and undervaluing or looking at yourself as a low man on the totem pole, think about it. Think how many things you think, and you think so much better of other people than you do of yourself. Think about it. You could rattle in your head right now probably 5 friends of yours who you think are 10 times better than you, right? Right now, in your head, rolling around the names, right? And I think that there's a denial part of our self-esteem. And it's almost like it's put these tentacles on every area of our life, right? So like when we are having alcohol problems and we're drinking too much, it's very easy to go into denial about those problems, right? So we also go into denial about how we feel about ourselves, because you can sit and tell a group of people that you feel good about yourself, or you're proud of your choices, or you love the way you look, but you don't. And you're in denial about the fact that you really don't think that you're worthy of anything good, or you don't think you're enough for other people. So having debilitating feelings about ourselves coincides with our debilitating feelings about our drinking, right? So I'm trying to think, like, if we have actions that are destructive or feelings that are super dark about ourselves when we're drinking, we don't share those with other people, right? If we do things after we've had some drinks and then we are ashamed about it, we're certainly not going to tell other people that we did it, right? Think about how many one-night stands you've probably had, maybe. Not saying you have, but there's a lot of, sex comes with drinking a lot of the time. And think about how when your judgment is totally taken away from you, you've taken the barrier down and your defense mechanisms are completely gone. How many of you have gone home with someone that you probably shouldn't have, or that you wouldn't want to? Or I can think back to college. I had this rando guy. It's not a rando, but I dated him on and off, kind of. But he had a girlfriend at home. I can't like explain this without making myself sound bad, but whatever. He had a girlfriend at home. He was my neighbor. And then he would tell me he was broken up with her, but then she'd come up the next weekend. It was like this really crazy circus that I was involved in. But the point is when I was not drinking, I would say, I'm not going to see him tonight. I'm not going to, they're going here. We're going out over here. Like, I'm not having anything to do with him. But the minute that I had a little bit more than a drink or two, like, I was like, let's go to this place. And then it was done. And the next day I would feel horrible about myself. Right. So what would I do because of that? What would I do with those destructive feelings about myself? Right. Deny it ever happened. I became an expert at putting all the shit that I was putting myself through and the feelings that I had of completely just self-deprecation and negative things that I did. I would put them in this box and shove it way, way back in the closet of my brain and lock the door and leave it there in the dark. Except those things don't stay in the dark, do they? They surface every once in a while. They rear their ugly head, and a lot of the time, they rear their ugly head when you're drinking and you're using a substance to forget or to numb, anesthetize yourself, right? But it in fact does the opposite. A lot of the times it brings up things that you're not trying to deal with. Double-edged sword, catch 22 of alcohol, right? So I think that we can become embodied by denial. It can take over us, and we can be in denial about a lot of things. And denial to me is a terrifying thing that our brain does, actually. We can deny a lot of things that are directly in front of our eyes. My mom used to say all the time when I was a kid, you know, when you're ready to see, when people are ready to see it, they'll see it. Can't see it. You know, when you start having girlfriends dating boys and the boy's an asshole and you just want her to see and she can't see it. She doesn't see it at all. Nothing that happens to her is not happening, right? So it's not that bad. He's not that bad, right? That situation wasn't that bad. I never did this, or that girl that was with him before did that, and I've not done that. And it's like so funny that we are able to do that to ourselves, you know? And I think that for a lot of us, we have difficulty defining or acknowledging the negative feelings, right? But the feelings of hopelessness and fear and sadness can come up, and we can recognize those, and you could feel like you need to change, and you know that you need to change. Think about people in bad relationships, how often they'll spend years, some people, going in around and around and around and around and around about how they know they need to leave, and they're going to leave, and then they don't leave. This is why a lot of times people in like abusive relationships lose friends, because how long can somebody sit with you while you're in denial when you're going through these, I know I need to leave, I know this, I know this, I know this, and then you're like, oh, I decided, you know, he's sorry, and the denial turns on, right? So I think when we acknowledge negative feelings and acknowledge the hopelessness we feel about changing ourselves and changing the feelings that we have about ourselves, I think that's what stimulates the change to be able to live a happier life, a more confident-filled life. How's that? And we, as women, I think express the need for change in ourselves. We all do. Whether it's with your physical appearance, whether it's with your capabilities, whether it's with your interpersonal relationships, whether it's your job, you know, we all can look at certain facets of our life and say, yeah, I need to change. I know I need to change, right? But it becomes this overwhelming helplessness feeling, like it's going to be so much, like it's this long road that's never going to happen. And it becomes overwhelming. And you know what? A lot of that comes from our social conditioning. Bear with me, right? We always have felt like others, go back to that little girl with the pretty hair. Oh, I can't talk about how beautiful my hair is. Okay. We learn that we're helpless and that others have power over us, right? And others set the rule for how we behave and how we speak. Yeah. Little girls should be nice, sugar and spice and everything nice. Oh, a little girl doesn't behave like that. Cross your legs. A little girl doesn't sit like that. Chew with your mouth closed. A lady doesn't eat like that. Right? Yeah. I mean, I don't think the intentions of the social conditioning are necessarily all that bad, because kids have to sit in classrooms and they have to do things and be polite when they go to other people's houses. But our brains don't recognize this as prompts just to behave in a way that is kind and, what's the word I'm looking for? Compliant. Right? When you're in school, you have to be compliant. You have to be willing to just set your stuff aside so you can learn for the day with the 25 other people that are in the room with you. Yeah. So I think that when we look at our confidence, the problem is a lot of us have felt helpless our whole lives. Right? A lot of us have. We felt helpless and out of control our whole lives. Somebody's always told us what to do, what to say, what to think. So we have difficulty coping with the feelings that we feel. We even have difficulty defining the feelings we feel a lot of times, because we have felt that others have had power over us from the get-go, right? So where do you begin at looking to find true positive feelings about yourself and discovering that? So I don't know. You could start with, maybe you say all the time, my drinking isn't that bad. It's not all that bad. I've not done that yet. I never drink alone. You know, when you say that out loud, but in your head and your feelings are probably the exact opposite. You know, God, I made such an idiot of myself last night, right? Oh my God, I'm not going to be able to talk to those people for like ever, because I was so mortified of my behavior last night. Or And I have to block that person because I was like out of control with the texting last night. Oh my God, what is wrong with me? You know, but if you're talking about your drinking to anyone else, it's, yeah, no, I'm not, my drinking's not that bad. Uh-uh, nope. Right? So we have to look at the power or the problem with alcohol in our drinking, right? Like everything else in our lives, that we have the power to overcome it. And that takes a little bit of confidence, right? A little bit of chutzpah or whatever, you know, like got to have a little bit of balls to say, I have the power to overcome this. And I think that the beauty of change and the journey to recovery begins when we take charge of ourselves. That we have the power within us to be who we want to be. That it's in our control. It's not out of control. No, no, no. You are in control, right? And the thing is if you become a new person because of those thoughts. Yeah, the actions are because of the thoughts. So when I first got sober, I focused on just not drinking. But then after so long, I felt confident in that foundation of just not drinking that I was able to start looking at the way that my thoughts were circling my life, the way that my thoughts were affecting my actions. And I was able to start putting change into motion. So all we really need to know, all you really need to know, right? As someone who's looking at habit change or looking at something they want to change, like you don't like drinking and you don't like the way you feel about yourself when you're drinking and you're angry and you're bitter and you're resentful, but you don't recognize why the fuck you're angry and bitter and resentful. You know, we only need to know that we want to do something. I want to change. Know that I can change, not want. See, replace it. I can say all day long, I wanna be a size 2. I really don't, but that's the first thing that came to my mind. I would be not ever be eating again if I was a size 2. My body is not built for a size 2. So anyways, but like, you know, I want. Fine. I can. Insert what you want. I can stop drinking. I can quit drinking wine every night. I can quit drinking wine and making excuses for my behavior after I drink the wine and feeling like I'm a piece of crap every morning because of my behavior when I'm drinking, because I didn't want to be drinking so much in the first place, but I couldn't help myself once I started, because by design, alcohol is meant for you to keep drinking it. It literally clicks the thing in your brain off and you want more and more and more and more and more and more and more. It's not necessarily the addiction there for a lot of you. It's, I didn't want to drink that much. I drank that much. I feel like shit. Why did you drink that much? Well, because you drank alcohol, and alcohol is designed to be dependent. You're supposed to form a dependence on it. Even if you don't get a full-blown addiction, it's designed for your brain to become dependent on it and want those dopamine hits or serotonin. I forget which one it is. I think it's dopamine. But the thing is, when we drink, we try to numb out those past experiences, right? We start to, some of us, even when we drink, we get balls of steel, man. I was cocky. I was so cocky when I was drinking. My God, I walked around with an arrogance that was disgusting, like disgusting. And, you know, we have to look at the fact that we can't change our self-imaging right away. That's going to take some time. And I think a lot of us in today's world are so used to instant. When you look at, oh, well, we can stop drinking if we want to. We can. So The problem is we have to process our self-image once we decide that we're not going to drink anymore. And all the filters that come through our mind that influences our experiences, right? All of those are fine. You can have two different times of day and things come in and you're looking at the experiences and the situation and the influences in that moment have be the exact same, but it's the filter at the time. One filter could be murky and have a little bit of self-hate going on right there. And one filter could be, having a great day, la-di-da, none of this shit's bothering me. So we create the version of ourselves that we want to be through the thoughts that we put into place in our mind. Gets the ball rolling, right? Actions are coming from thoughts. When you think highly of yourself, you start to see yourself differently. And then you act differently because you see yourself differently. And we can't change the past, right? Can't change the bad, can't look back, can't go back and redo it. And the way we think about our past experiences affects our present day sometimes, yeah? But we don't have to carry this new baggage, like old baggage, into our new image of ourselves. So that's one of the things about 12-step program that I like a lot from the foundation I got was I choose to regret the past, not shut the door on it. I can regret some of the things that I did to this very day. I can regret some of the things that I did, but I'm grateful now for those experiences because I choose not to shut the door on them and stuff them and tuck them away so that they become secrets or scary places in my mind that I'm too afraid to visit. And when I think about visiting them, I have a panic attack because I don't think I'm strong enough to handle them. Right? I don't have to do that today. I'm grateful for my past experiences, and you should be too, because they've brought you right where you are sitting right now in this moment, right where you're at. Everything that's happened to you up until right now is worth some value to you. Even the bad has taught you something. So grabbing a hold of our thoughts makes us grab a hold of our lives, right? And quit underestimating the power of the messaging you give yourself. Fuck the shit you hear from other people, right? It's the messaging you give yourself that matters the most. And changing that filter, I mean, you could do affirmations, you could journal, you could do positive meditation with affirmations, but start thinking about the way that you think about yourself and the messages you give yourself. Because if you're constantly thinking that you're a head case who's full of anxiety, who needs wine because she's too much for other people, guess what? You're always going to be a head case who's too much for other people that needs wine to calm down every single day because she's living in a world where people don't understand her, because she's muting herself. We're dumbing herself down because she's too afraid she's too much for other people. And the wine helps her go to sleep at night, knowing that she's not too much for other people, right? She's just allowed those messages to herself to take over. So knowing that you're capable, that you're competent, right? That you're responsible for your actions and taking responsibility for your actions. It is pursuing a new happiness and a new life that you want. It's in that pursuit. Thoughts start to change. Things you once thought of yourself, even 90, even 60 days ago. You won't think that way in 60 days from now. You know, Our thoughts can change everything for us. That's the one thing that's tricky is our thoughts can change everything. And we don't have to continually pay retribution for our past mistakes. That's another thing. Past is gone. Why sit there? Why live there? You want to learn to like yourself, ladies. Once you like yourself, you learn to love yourself, right? That's the incredible thing. Small baby steps, just like Bill Murray and What About Bob? Baby stepping to the bus, baby stepping on the bus. Like, it's all new learned things in a new road for all of us, because a lot of us have thought we're too much for too long, and we've felt helpless and hopeless in our own lives because other people have told us what to do our entire existence. You know what one of the greatest things that not drinking has given me? Seriously, do you know one of the greatest things that not drinking has given me? I'm not afraid of my passion anymore. I don't dull down my thoughts, my enthusiasm, my passion for things anymore because I'm afraid people will think I'm too extra or too much. I don't dim my light out anymore for fear that people will feel less than around me because I have a magnetic personality. Those are the things that I did when I was conditioned by my situational stuff growing up. Mean girls, teachers, everyone telling you to, you know, be more compliant. I'm more compassionate now. And today when I love with my whole heart. There is no confusion about it for me. You know, my relationship with my husband is so different from my first marriage because I'm not confused about what I'm feeling all the time. And then I'm not numbing everything out with booze because I'm confused about what I'm feeling all the time because I'm being manipulated and abused and all this other stuff. There's no confusion to me anymore for me. I know how to love with my whole heart. I know how to receive love from other people. That is something that took me, I'm 9.5 years, almost 10 years sober. That took me 8.5 years to allow myself to receive love from other people without adding some negative comment about myself after the fact they told me that they loved me or whatever, you know, not accepting compliments and whatnot. Confidence goes hand in hand with a recovery journey because you no longer get to blame things on behaviors because you have to take accountability for the way that you're living. And it's a work in progress. And every morning I wake up and start a new day and journal about a new day and live in that space because I'm a work in progress all the time for the rest of my life. That's the way it is for me. So, the more amazing you believe you are, the more others see it, right? Say it. The more amazing you are, the more others see it. The more amazing you are, the more others see it. I actually just dropped the ball and forgot to put the believe in there. The more amazing you believe you are, the more others see it. I see it. I see it in you. I see how amazing you are. I see you if you're listening to this and you're terrified and you're alone because you've let denial creep in and take over your life and put tentacles in every area and aspect of how you live. And your drinking's not that bad, right? I see you. I was you. Everything worth having takes a little bit of work, right? I do believe that. And you're worth the work. Mindfulness and wellness and health and mental health and well-being and personal care and prioritizing self-care. Self-care has gotten a bad rap lately, right? But if you don't take care of yourself, if you don't put yourself first, it's not selfish. What's selfish is not doing it, especially if you're a mom, a wife, a daughter, a friend, an employee. Not taking care of yourself and your needs, not giving yourself some me time and putting your needs and your priorities first makes you useless to everybody else. Maybe not today, but eventually you'll snap. So if you believe you are amazing, other people will see it too. Thoughts create our actions, and believing that you are amazing will just create a whole list of powerful freaking actions behind it. I can guarantee that. So thanks for coming today, guys. I hope you all have a wonderful week, and I hope you are able to, if you're still struggling, at least have a few hungover-free mornings and take your power back. Know that you are in control of your life and you are in control of the change that you seek for yourself. Have a good week, guys. I'll see you next week.